This is Drive with Lucy Braden, ABC Radio Hobart.
We know that children are naturally inquisitive, but it turns out that they are excellent researchers as well. In fact, when it comes to being a child, they are the best placed to analyse, share and understand what it is to be a kid in this day and age. To talk more about child-led research, I'm joined in the studio by Adjunct Associate Professor Nolene Fitzalan and Dr. Becky Shelley from the Peter Underwood Centre. Hello to both of you.
Hi, Lucy. Thanks very much for having us.
Now, can you remind our listeners about the Peter Underwood Centre? Exactly what is it and what is the work that you do there?
Thanks. So the centre was formed in 2015 and it's quite a unique research centre globally because it brings together the state government, the Office of Government House, as well as the university to try and work out creative and engaging ways to help Tasmanian children flourish through learning. So one of the key ways we do that is through the Children's University, and that's actually the was the genesis for this research project, but since then it's really evolved. So you may remember, Lucy, when we first started, I think it was in 2019, you actually came and met some of our first researchers.
Yes.
And since then we have taken the method outside of the Children's University setting and with Nolene and some other collaborators at the university, done the method with children who are homeschooled, gone to regional schools and really explored what learning means to them and their self-concept. And then most recently we've been using it to evaluate programs for industry. So we've recently been doing work with the TFGA. So I just think there's so much potential. Children are curious, as you say, when we skill them. And it's pretty rigorous training. Nolan can talk more. They learn statistical methods.
Oh, my gosh. More than what we would do.
Yeah, like it's everything we would do as adult researchers. They engage with research ethics. And I'll just share with you when we were doing an exploration recently about what, you know, what are research ethics, you know, what is the right thing to do and the wrong thing to do in developing a survey. And the young people, the children observed that you should not be made to do a survey. So they're obviously understanding the importance of voluntary participation. They thought you shouldn't be paid to do a survey because you might just try and give the answers that you thought they wanted. And then we had a great discussion about, do you ever lie on a survey? Mm. And is it ever okay to lie? So I think they're more than capable with engaging with some of the questions, you know, those kind of big questions about how to do ethical research.
Yeah, they certainly are.
And then the big the big problems we have, you know, when we think about the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, when we think about all of the challenges that as a community and as adults we are trying to work our way through. In our work with Tasmanian children, they are so engaged and they have some brilliant ideas. So I'm not the statistics person, so I'll get Nolene to share a little bit more about some of the process that we run through. But I just see so many applications for policy, for program design, for schools and communities themselves.
Yeah, children's voices aren't usually heard that much when it comes to just planning in general and decision making, are they?
That's right.
I think always most people try and work in children's interests, but don't necessarily ask children what they want or what they think and make decisions from that perspective. So we're just trying to give students that opportunity to see that they can make decisions and they can contribute to discussions. And from my perspective with the statistics, we can do that from an evidence-based perspective.
Yeah, so where do you step in? Where do you fit into this, Nolene?
Well, my job is to sort of do the teaching, so to speak, about using statistics. We use a methodology called the practice of statistics. Now, this is with young primary students. We start with grade three, three through to six mostly.
How old is a grade three student generally?
About seven or eight.
Okay.
Yeah. So we start with them, and it's not high, heavy statistics. We don't talk about p-values and, you know, those sorts of statistics that the Bureau of Statistics might, but we talk about things like about what happens the most and what is the distribution, how much are things spread and things like that. So we start with the practice of statistics, which is begins with asking a question, a statistical question. And, you know, sometimes the students actually don't ask questions that can be answered statistically. They ask a question like, where is...
Well, we've had. I might jump in. We've got some great questions. Please. So, one of the things we do on the first day is unpack what is a research question and what is a Google question. And we kind of have graffiti boards and we brainstorm a lot of that. So, some of the questions when we're in that just free form process are things like who created Google? Right. So that's a Google question. You can just
chuck it in there, have a look, press enter.
Okay, what about this question? Are heaven and hell real? So that's a philosophical question. So that's not something we can Google and it's not something we can apply a statistical method to. So we take all of their questions, there's no good or bad question, and then we work through with them, okay, what can we actually pick up and explore, and that then they themselves can kind of make this discovery through their statistical analysis and their inquiries about what the answer might be. Yeah.
I remember doing this in like high school, and the fact they're doing it in grade three or thereabouts is incredible.
Yes. So we get these collections of questions, and the next part of the practice of statistics is to collect some data. So we put together a survey. We can do, there's lots of different statistical methods, but we've been working with developing surveys with students, collection of questions, and then we distribute the survey to as many people as we can and get them to answer it, and then we come back to the students again and say, well, here's all the answers to the questions, how might we represent it, and what does the data tell us?
And I think within that, with the most recent one that we've done, we were able to distribute the survey beyond the students' own school community, and that's the first time we've been able to do that. So they actually had a kind of larger bundle of data to manage and to use. And the other thing that I think is important in the design of this and that we're quite proud of is that we then often say to the children, well, where do you want the results to go? Who do you want us to share this with? And that was the case with the first one when they said the media, and we said, okay, well, we'll invite them. And so that was wonderful that you came out, and they wanted us to share it with the Queen. So Her Excellency came and they presented it to Her Excellency. And
gosh, they're aiming high. Yeah, I love it.
and the world. And so, you know, we published it in an international journal. So I actually think if we're really honouring and doing justice to the rights that these children have, they also need to be participating in the decisions about how that data is used to influence adult decision making and how their insights actually can be part of shaping the world that they live in. And they think that we kind of ask them, why do you think children should be doing the research? Why should you do it themselves? And they talked about because we are children, we know about being a child, and I think that's so true because much has changed.
That's the point.
One of them said because children have a right, and another one said, well, grown-ups were children, but they might have forgot.
Mm-hmm. They have.
This is always true. Someone else observed grown-ups don't have devices. So maybe, I mean, in my house we probably spend a little too long on them, and people didn't have TikTok and YouTube and Netflix. So, you know, obviously, what would they know, those adults?
Yeah, those adults, those pesky adults. Lucy Braden with you on Drive, but I'm joined in the studio by Adjunct Associate Professor Nolene Fitzalan and Dr. Becky Shelley from the Peter Underwood Centre. And we're talking about child-led research, our youngsters doing research about themselves, for themselves, and are basically influencing decision making in a way. So there are some of these questions. Where does all this research then go and influence?
Sure. So with with the project that we've done for the TFGA, that will go back to them and that will influence the way in which they conduct excursions and try and engage children in learning about food and fibre production.
So did TFGA approach you, or is that, you know, one of your kind of industry?
So that was through, we were involved through the a steering committee, and yeah, they got in contact with us. And I think we've also got international interest. I'm going to a meeting next year in France to talk about the potential application of this in that setting, which is also an industry setting. And I think with policymakers as well, I mean, there are so many issues where we are designing programs or policies or after-school activities or you name it for children. But this is a method where you can actually, in a really sophisticated and evidence-informed but child-friendly way, get their insights and use them. So we're and it's kind of fun.
I was going to say, like, Nolene, you get to be in there, like, you both get to be in there working alongside kids. What have you learned about them?
Oh, from an education perspective, we learn a lot. The results, from my perspective, we will report in research journals for educators about how students learn at that young age, about what they do with data and how they learn about data and the way they respond, those sorts of things. So it will inform education research as much as the TFGA. And it's just exciting to see kids do things that you don't necessarily expect them to do.
Yeah.
And
giving them the opportunity to, like, let their brains flourish in that way, because we might think, oh, they couldn't do that.
And
they can.
And they love it. And on the first day, we give everyone a researcher kit. So they have a T-shirt that says Tassie Researcher and has UTAS logo on it. Now, the reason for that for us is quite kind of pragmatic, because we don't want to reveal the school they're at. They're in their school uniform. So there's kind of an ethical background in our mind. But they put the kind of costume on and they've got their rulers and sticky notes and notebooks, and they do reflections as any social scientist would each day, and they make artifacts and draw things. And for some of them, they'll say, I've never met anyone from the university before, or I'm a university person now. And they kind of define for themselves what research is and can really see themselves, I think, are really empowered about their capacity to do deep thinking and to make a contribution to the world around them.
Absolutely.
It's the best.
That is great that they also can look at what their future could hold. This could open so many doors for them. They probably didn't know that the university even existed before you guys came along. If you have just joined me at 10 to 5, it's Lucy Braden with you on Drive. Adjunct Associate Professor Nolene Fitzalan is here alongside Dr. Becky Shelley. They're both from the Peter Underwood Centre. We are talking about child-led research, because kids are naturally inquisitive little beings. And it is so great to hear that you are talking to kids from all facets of life, you know, homeschooled or public or private education. That was intentional.
Yeah, very much so. I think that we, as I said, we started with a concept of using it within our children's university program. But clearly, once we did it, we could really see that the application could be so much broader. I mean, ABC could use it to get some insights on,
well, that we could.
On things that the types of programming that children might be interested in. Or so it can be kind of scaled to big questions or little questions. And so the first one we did, the children all came up with their own questions, and they were all about their social worlds, like how often do you eat takeaway in your family, how many languages are spoken at home in the schools, or what's your favourite pet. So they were very much related to their lived experience. Mm. And then in other ones we've done, we've really expanded it to some quite complex concepts around self-concept as a learner. Do you know, like, when you do social comparisons about your learning, like, how do we know what is good learning? Is it the test result? Is it how you're comparing yourself to your peer? Mm. Is it how much fun you had? Is it how engaged you were? Is it how hard your head hurt when you were doing it? And understanding the children's insights about their own learning processes is so critically important, I think, to help us advance learning outcomes in the state.
And then, Nolene, you got to crunch all those numbers, is that right?
Like I said, we don't really do any heavy statistical analysis.
Yeah, it sounds heavy to me.
But just being able to collect some data that's relevant to the students, that they actually know what the question was and how the question was formed and why the question is there, to then sort of create a graphical representation and then get some information from that graph. But it also goes beyond that. It's not just about being able to say, oh, well, you know, playing tennis is the most popular event of a weekend. It's, you know, they start thinking about what does this mean? What does this tell us? How does that compare with what other people do? And because we've got a collection of data, we can start looking at the questions and sort of thinking, well, actually, we might be able to compare it with other data that we've got, or maybe we need to do another survey and collect more data. And I think it just opens students up to a different way of thinking. It helps them see that there's other things in the world and that other people aren't exactly the same as them, and other people might have different experiences and they might have different lifestyles and they might have different opinions. But we can look at all those things and we can make some decisions based on knowing all those different things about people.
To both of you, thank you so much for coming in and for sharing a little bit about this. I've only heard of this type of research. It's very different, but I know the Children's Commissioner is doing something similar in terms of talking to young people about their experiences, but very different to this. But it's great to hear of organisations getting in touch with our young people because they are so important to the future. Thank you to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lucy.